first chapter. I'd like to read verses 35 through 49. I'll actually read through 44. John 1, 35. Again, the next day, John was standing with his two of his disciples. This would be the person we refer to as John the Baptist. He looked at Jesus as he walked and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. And Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, "Whom do you seek?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and you will see." So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He found first his own brother, Simon, and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which translated means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. The next day he purposed to go into Galilee, and he found Philip, and Jesus said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, of the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael, said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Loving Father, move powerfully. In these next few minutes, we need you and your Spirit to act. Father, I pray for each that have come, that you will meet them right where they're at. Help us to understand what you're saying and where you're leading and how you're speaking to us. And Father, I pray we can set aside for a moment whatever it is that may be interrupting our time with you and just look to you, look to your word. Help me as I proclaim. The listener, as they hear and respond, my response, I pray, would be right as well. And we would ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, we're now into the new year. 2018 is here. I haven't seen some of you guys since last year, right? 2017 is gone. It's entered the pages of history. I really hope for you it was a year in which your walk with the Lord grew deeper and your heart for the lost grew greater. Trust that you can look back and acknowledge that He was indeed good while recognizing there's much on this side of heaven that's not so good. That's the world we live in, right? I want to thank the Lord for this past year, for the opportunity that is ours for this new one. You know, last year, 2017, He proved Himself faithful again. We saw it. God has moved again in our local church to sustain us, to provide for us, for our missionaries, that we might continue to minister. And for that, we give Him praise. More than that, there are those who came to faith through this ministry last year. And we give Him praise for that. Many are growing in this past year and have been growing, continue to do so. For that, we give Him thanks. He's worthy of our praise. 2018, those here. Here we go, right? Ready or not? Ready or not? Here it is. And I want to give you a challenge today toward this new year. And it's something that's been on my heart for some time. But I want to challenge you to be zealous to win the lost to Christ and to walk in a way that's pleasing to our Lord. That's really what I want to get at today as we look forward to this new year. I'm hoping we go forward with a greater passion for souls, but equally passionate about my walk with Christ. I think those things fit together. I know they do. In this text, I'm really not going to exposit the text as to a great degree, but there are a couple things I want to point out to you. Then we'll end up in Ephesians 4. But I want you to see this situation that there's this zealous for witness that's before us. Look again with me at the text. It began in verse 35. John the Baptist sees Jesus, and he says to those two guys that are with him, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." There he is, the long-promised one. He's there. So he points to these two disciples of his. We find out that one of those disciples is Andrew. Look at verse 40. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Now look what happens. He found first his own brother, Simon, and said to him, "We found the Messiah," which translated means Christ. So there's this zealousness, or one is zealous in witness. These two men they've seen Christ, the long promised Lamb of God. John the Baptist has pointed them to Jesus. And you see what happens here with Andrew. He's zealous in witness to pursue. Verse 40, look at it again. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And notice what he does. He found first his own brother. This is just how it happens. So many times. Andrew, he went and, hey, he had something. He had found the Messiah, the long-promised one. He'd been pointed to him, spent an evening with him, and he went and got his brother. Notice Philip in verse 45. Christ had interacted with Philip, brought him to himself, 43 and 44. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We've found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, son of Joseph." So Andrew, he first found his own brother. And we would come to know him as a great apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter. You have Philip then, who also goes and finds someone. He found Nathanael. In verse 43, we see him, Jesus seeking. He finds Philip, but Philip then becomes a follower of Christ. Both Andrew and Philip took the initiative. They sought. They went after somebody close to them. You know, it is true that there are times someone will come to us and ask about the hope that we have in Christ. That's a beautiful opportunity. But mostly it's going to be you and I seeing someone and making a step, interacting with that individual. Seeking. You remember what Jesus said? The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus came to seek. And when we come to faith in Christ, we become one of those who are seeking through Him. And we're seeking others to come. There's this whole thought, Jesus came. Remember, a Savior comes to save. And Jesus came to seek and to save individuals from the penalty of their sin. So you have here this pursuit. They are pursuing. Remember what Jesus told His followers? Follow me. Matthew 4:19, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. When I go fishing to catch something, right? Doesn't always work out that way, but that's why there's pursuit there. There's thinking through. I'm trying to harvest something here. Follow me, Jesus said. I will make you fishers of men. By the way, the key there is this, to follow Jesus. This is where relationship, we're going to talk about it in a bit, really comes into play with having a heart for the lost. Because as we draw closer to Christ, the things that are dear to Him, His heart for those who are lost really begins to impact us. And the key is following. Follow Him, He says, and I will make you. That's a promise. That's relationship. But there's pursuit here. And you know, we're all ministers. Every believer is a minister on behalf of Christ. Sometimes, you know, this is looked at as, this is a pastor's job or associate pastor's job or someone on the board. No, God has placed you and I in specific places at a specific time to reach people for Christ. I like who this one Andrew found later speaks, how he says this, 1 Peter 2:9, you believers are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. What's that all about? You know what I love about the scripture sometimes? It just lays it out, right? Two words, so that. Oh, this is easy, right, to understand. So that you may, what? Proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. That we have a word, right? He's gloriously saved me. That's what He's done. From the wages of sin, from the kingdom of darkness, He's translated me into the kingdom of His dear Son. Go proclaim. You, me. We're, you know, this isn't our home, but while we're here, this is the priesthood of the believer. We have opportunity. So, zealous and witness, that's what I really want to say to you. And you might say, well, where do we see this in Scripture? Acts 17:2. According to Paul's custom, someone, by the way, was gloriously saved. According to Paul's custom, he went to them. He sought. See it? He's seeking. For three Sabbaths, reasoned for them, with them from the Scriptures. We could really chase that. But that's what he did. He sought them out. Friends, will you pray for one? Will you seek one? That's where we start. You know, we can think about reaching the world for Christ, and that sounds like we're going to have big meetings, and there's going to be crusades, and there's going to be thousands that come. You know, that's the exception. Rather, I believe this is the rule. We have in the book of Acts the declaration of the gospel at Pentecost when the Holy Spirit comes. How many souls saved that day? 3,000. It's not long, they're up to 5,000. But when you start following it through, you're seeing one on one on one. That is often the way it's done. And I've heard it said this way, one at a time as fast as you can. One at a time as fast as you can. I love that thought. But it's one on one so often. And we, you know, we're living here for this moment in time, and it's flying by. Right? Everyone over 40? It's flying by, right? It is. We have this moment in time with these people that God has allowed into my life. And I need to be thinking about how to reach them. But I would ask you this. Will you pray for one? In this coming year, will you pray for one? And then if God would grant that, pray for another. And maybe you're going to pray bigger than that and say, give me 50. I don't care, Lord. Whatever it is. But see, we need to seek. We need to pursue. And we are here to proclaim. That's really it. Andrew and Philip. Look again back at the text. You see, both of them, they seek someone. Verse 41, he found, that is, Andrew first found his brother Simon. And then you see Philip, he found Nathanael. You have both of them seeking. But listen, that's not all they did. And take note of this. They also put some words to this thing. See what, look at what Andrew says. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him. He gives witness of Christ here. We found him. We found him. The long promised one. He's here. I saw him. You gotta meet this guy. Look at verse 45. Philip found Nathanael and said to him. He said to him, we've found him. We found him. We found the Christ. Andrew and Philip, they both sought out individuals they personally knew, had a relationship with. But you can't leave it there, friends. There's been, I'd say in the last 20 years, sort of a press in evangelism in the United States to build a relationship. That's good. But with that, too many have just set aside and they forgot to say something. You're not really loving someone if you're not giving them the truth. And so, you see what these guys did? They said something. They said something. When Paul goes to the synagogue, he doesn't just go there and say, hey, good to see you. He says something. He says something. You might say, well, Pastor, I I don't know it like some people know it. Yeah, I don't either. But if you know Christ, you have a story that's powerful. Give it to them. Share with them who you love. Peter said this as well. Sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, 1 Peter 3:15. Always being ready to make a defense. So wherever you're at, you need to be growing in your ability to proclaim Christ. I'm not yet a finished product, and neither are you. And God says, I want you growing, get ready. So you can make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet key. Yet with what? Gentleness and reverence. Have respect for people. Be gentle with them. And so it is, you know, we're called to this. But take note that they used words. They used words. We have the message of life. And they tell them what they found. I came across a quote this week that I want to share with you because I think it's so good. So good. Evangelism is not a system or program, but a personal involvement in the lives of people to help them to know the things they need to know in order to believe. That's so good. You know, there are programs that help you with this in teaching. Those are fine. I don't have anything against them. But listen, the bottom line is right here. That can be a help, those other things. Bottom line is right here. It's a personal involvement in the lives of people to help them know the things they need to know in order to believe. That's what it is. That's what these guys gave. So we're called to proclaim. In these verses, we know God using individuals, bringing them one at a time to faith in Christ. That's what we see. I'll just give you a couple for instances. There's many more. These are a couple that jump out to me. This is in Philippi. We read, there's a letter to the church in Philippi. In Acts 16, Paul went there. A woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple fabrics, a worshiper of God. She was religious, didn't yet know Christ, was listening, and the Lord, what? Opened her heart to respond to the things spoken by Paul. Who? One woman. One woman. That church in Philippi starts there. Look what happened, though. When she and her household had been baptized, so she and her household believed. There was more witness, more and more. She urged a saying and so forth. Stay a while. But it's one person that came to faith, and that spread, see, and it went on. Pretty soon a church is established. Note as well, Acts 18:7. Then he left there, this is at Corinth, and went to the house of a man named Titus Justus, a worshiper of God, whose house was next to the synagogue. One person. And it's noted. Notice Philemon as well. It's a tremendous book. Philemon 10 and 11, I appeal to you for my child Onesimus, one person, whom I have begotten in my imprisonment. Paul said, I led this man to Christ while I was in prison, this one man. A whole letter in the New Testament about reconciliation written because Paul led this one man to Christ. We have it. Who formerly was useless to you, but now is useful. Well, I'll tell you what, if any man's in Christ, he's a new creation. He went from being useless in the kingdom to being useful. Onesimus did. And so we note that. I have a story to tell you. I'll be brief. And it has to do with one person reaching one person, reaching another person. And I would urge you, too, to look back at your roots, how you came to faith in Christ. Who was involved in that? Listen to this. In the 1950s, there was a woman named Audrey. She was burdened for a man named Bob to be saved. Recently, Bob's wife, Muriel, had come to faith in Jesus. Audrey knew Muriel, and Audrey attended a midweek service where Muriel was, a midweek prayer service. And she asked that their time, their focus at that moment in time, be for this specific man, Bob, to be saved. Following Sunday, Walt Malmstrom, known to many as Uncle Walt, preached the morning service. Guess who attended that service? Bob did. Bob did. He came to faith in Christ that day. Now, that change that came over this man, it can only be described in 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Now, his worldly pursuits no longer held interest for him. From that point on, Bob led his family in the way they ought to go, made sure they were in church. And his burden for them grew, and all four of his children at a point in time came to faith. He was burdened as well for his community. Noted there was an empty church building less than a mile from his home. And inquired about that building. They were able to purchase it. And that building needs some sprucing up. They did that. But believers began to assemble and attend. And that church today is known as Colfax Community Church. The work still goes on there. We never know. We never know. Never know how far-reaching the witness of one and the salvation of one soul and the concern for one person for another will go. One of his sons, his oldest son is named Ron. That's my dad. Huh. Oh, God reached, burdened one for one who reached some who I had the privilege of growing up in a family where the gospel was proclaimed. I came to faith in the fifth grade. You never, never know. Huh? Reaching one. So I say to you, what about one? What about one? Would you pray for one? Would you seek one? Would you proclaim to one? Ah, that's how God works. That's how God works. It's noon and I'm halfway through. Turn and I'll go quickly through the rest and I'll wrap this up soon. Ephesians, the first chapter. I hadn't planned on spending as much time on this part as I did the first part. But these things go together. We need to be zealous in witness. We need to be zealous in walk. Look what it says here in Ephesians 4:1. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk. There it is. Walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you've been called. Notice verse 17. So this I say and affirm together with the Lord that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk, or how the world does it in the futility of their mind. I'm urging you, don't walk like that. He's talking about walk here. Notice chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, in verse 2, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us in our offering and sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. Implore, in verse 1, has the idea of calling someone to do something. God is here calling us to do something here. And that something is to walk worthy. That something is to grow in our walk. There can be no logical debate as to how it is that God would have us to live. Now, the pressure of the world is on us. We get that. And you know what? Our flesh says to us, grab all you can do, right? Go for it. There's pleasure here. But God says, this is how I want you to walk. I've got it laid out for you. It's to be worthy. That is, we are to walk and live up to the position that we have in Jesus Christ. I will say a couple things. God gives us the grace to do so. He empowers us to say no to sin, to say right to yes to righteousness. He does that. You need to believe that. There's no temptation taken us, but such as is common to man, the Scripture says. But God is faithful, who not allow you to be tempted above that which you're able, but with the temptation provide a way of escape or means of escape that you may be able to bear it. 1 Corinthians 10:13. He gives us the strength to do it. I want to call you, as God calls you and I, to a worthy walk. Secondly, it's to be growing. It's to be growing in that walk. And this is, I don't know if I have this on the overhead. I don't think so. No. 1 Thessalonians 4:1. I'll just read that for you. Those are just a couple of scriptures to look up. It says, finally, brethren, we request and exhort you. God's imploring us. He's saying, come along. I want this from you. That as you receive from us instruction as to how you ought to walk to please God, just as you actually do walk, that you excel still more. Okay? So what's he saying? I think he's saying grow here, guys. You know, you guys are doing well, he's saying, in your walk. And that was quite a church there at Thessalonica. But he's saying, I want you still to excel more. We're asking God for 20 people to be saved in this coming year and to be baptized as well. That's where my heart's at. That's where my prayer's at. I don't know what God's going to do. It's solely up to him. But he has put you and I on this earth to reflect him, to proclaim him. We're part of that. So that's what we're asking. I know this, that God desires for men and women, boys and girls to be saved. Brothers and sisters, I know that God wants us to be growing in our walk with him. I know that to be true. You cannot stay where you are spiritually. This year, God says grow, grow. By the way, that's a recipe for disaster. If you as a Christian think, you know what, I've done this, I've got that. I'm telling you what, you're setting yourself up for a train wreck. You need to be growing in Christ. You need to see the need for that. But we're desperate for him around here. We are. And I know he wants people to be saved and walking with him and growing to him. You know, the Christian life, it comes back to this, your walk with Christ. That's the most important thing. If your witness is going to be vibrant, be powerful, listen, you can't be living like the world and saying to those next to you, I've really got something to offer you, because you don't. And God's saying, look, live up to who you are. I'm there to empower, to strengthen you. You know, if we get out of the way and let him grow us and lead us, he'll do just that. But I believe if we're zealous in these two areas, witness and walk, God will use us. God will use you in a powerful way in your families, in your community. What would you like to see happen in 2018? If I could ask you that this morning as we wrap it up here, what do you really want to see happen? What do you think God would like to do? And what do you think God would like to do through you? I know this to be true. He wants to see people saved. He wants to see believers growing. I know those two things are true. How good would it be if we're able to see God grow us in our walk for Christ and use us to bring someone to the Savior? How good would that be? I think it'd be pretty good. Pretty sweet. You know, if Jesus would delay his coming to catch his bride away in 2018, if he would give us the opportunity to be zealous in these two areas, and we were, do you know what we would say next year, New Year's? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for what he's accomplished. I want to say something to each of you just about witness, too, and I'm going to wrap this up, okay? God is really, there are people in this fellowship that are very bold in their witness, and they don't hesitate anywhere, any place to proclaim Christ. God puts those people in our fellowship. I praise God for them. God also has in this fellowship people that aren't that bold, that have a different approach. I praise God for you as well. You who are the latter, don't dismiss that God can equally use you in however, through your personality, through your gifts, to proclaim him. So these two areas, I'll just close it up here, okay? Just with a challenge. Is between you and God? It really is. Will you commit to reaching one this year? I'm not saying 10, I'm not saying 5, I'm not saying 100. But would you commit to reaching one this year? It's between you and the Lord. I know God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. That's a heart of God. Jesus said, follow me, I'll make you become fishers of men. We get close to Christ, we're going to have a burden for souls, however we do it. So that's my, I got two challenges for you here. That's the first question. Will you commit to reaching one this year? Secondly, I believe this is, you can't dismiss this. It's so important. Will you commit to growing in your walk with Christ? I'm satisfied in Christ, but I'm not satisfied where I'm yet at in my walk with Him. He's satisfying. But I know I'm not yet where I need to be or want, or where He would want me to be. Those two things I want to leave you with today. Will you commit to reaching one? God's put each of you somewhere with somebody that needs to hear, to hear. We seek and we say. We go, we grow, we proclaim, we witness. Yeah, there's somebody that needs to hear. And friend, you need to further mature in Christ. You can't just sit where you're at. You know, that may be that I've got to look at my life. Maybe there's some things going on where, hey, God, I'll run this aspect of it, and when I need your help, I'll be hollering at you, huh? No, He wants all of you. If there's areas where you've got something you need to repent of, I'd urge you. There's great rejoicing in heaven, by the way, over what? One sinner who repents. If you as a believer are walking in a way that you ought not to walk, well, get that right with God. You know, the year's upon us. Let's go forward. You know, with a clean heart before God and looking to what He would do. But He uses people. Sinners helping sinners. That's who He uses. Beggars. Beggars for bread, and we take them to the bread of life. That's who He uses. He wants to use you. He wants to use me. Let's pray. Loving Father, thank you for letting us see this. I believe it's really clear in your word, in the scripture, how you work so many times, one on one on one. And Father, as we think about how you have reached into our lives through someone, we just give you thanks. Thanks for people that have gone before us that are faithful to proclaim the gospel of Christ. Father, there may be someone here today that wondering, what in the world is this about? And have yet to know that they can know where they'll spend eternity, that they can know that they can know you. Father, I pray you'll help them to know they're a sinner and the wages of sin, the payment for that, separation from you, but you and your grace have made a way to bridge that gap through sending your Son on a rescue mission whereby He took our sin, their sin, on the cross. Your wrath was poured out. He died, rose again in triumph, and through faith in Him, we can receive the gift of eternal life. Help them to understand that. Father, I set this group of believers before you for this coming year. I pray that you'll use us in reaching that one. Put someone on their heart. And I pray that you'll help us to grow as we ought to grow. Keep short accounts of sin, not putting on a show before other people of some self-righteousness, but Father, walking humbly with you. Bless, we pray. Use this body for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me get to the back and you're dismissed.